Okay, welcome to MattOgre.com's podcast number 2, episode 2, Attack of the Wife. With me here is my lovely bride, Mrs. Ogre, and she's going to be talking with us today. Before we really get into the subject of guns, I want to talk about this show that we're doing together, that we're in, I'm in. And she gets to direct the choreography, but I actually get to be on stage. Why don't you fill the audience in here about this?
Oh, Jake.
That's my character, Jake.
Jake is the deputy, the sheriff's deputy. Mm-hmm. He has been there, done that. He is an experienced cowboy. He's kind of an elderly geezer, we'll have to put that, gray beard going.
I'm an old codger.
An old geezer.
An old geezer. And I have to sing.
Yes, you do. That was a surprise tonight, I'm afraid. You handled it very well.
Not only do I have to sing, but I have to dance.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just enough to make you look good out there.
Okay, well, talking to Ron, He's short on guns for the whole cast, so I need my own gun here. So
yeah, the blackmail comes in.
It does. Yeah. So I need. I don't have a Western style revolver, so I think this is going to be a good win-win situation for both of us. Mm-hmm. You get to see your husband make a fool of himself.
Oh, I can't wait.
And then I get a gun, a new gun of my choice, uh-huh. A Western style gun. But this, I don't get, it's not just me making a fool of myself being on stage singing and dancing. There's something else to make me look the fool. The hat.
Oh, the hat.
Tell them about the hat.
Ah, you lose a bet. Your bet is that you can find the missing hats, which our boys mischievously steal from everybody throughout the show. And your job is to find out who stole the hats and where they put them. At the end of the show, you're so caught up with, the main plot of the story with Butch Cassidy and Sundance, that you just don't have the time or you forget about the hats, which means you lose the bet. The bet was that if you can't find the hats and who took them, you would get to wear the prettiest pink hat with the purplest feather and the little birdie in the nest. And he gets to wear this down the main street of Vernal.
Okay, so I get to wear a chick hat, I have to sing a song, and I have to do a hoedown. And then I get a gun.
Is it worth it?
I just might have to use it on myself by the time this is over. But I think this is going to be a win-win situation for everybody involved. Okay.
Make it a double holster.
That would look cool.
Yeah.
And you can get those new Taurus Gauchos.
There you go.
Which are really good reproduction of the classic Colt Peacemaker. Really good prices on those Gauchos. I checked them out at SHOT Show. We both did.
Yeah, we both did.
And sweet, they were things. Freaking cool. Good guns. So maybe I might get a couple of Gauchos.
And I get to see you sing and dance.
And I... Yes. This one time, I did the ballet. I'm doing a musical. I'm getting my Clint Eastwood on here. Because Clint Eastwood, he did one musical. He did Paint Your Wagon. And done. He didn't have to do any more musicals after that. He did his musical. Done. And he had lots of guns, so... So cool. If Clint Eastwood can do it, Ogre can do it. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Now, you want to say something about shoes? Oh, man. I had to do some shoe shopping. It took me 2 hours. I hate all these George Jetson, Flash Gordon tennis shoes out there. I just want a damn pair of sneakers. You know what I mean? Just some simple sneakers that don't make me look like a fool trying to recapture his youth or any of that jazz.
I don't know why you have such a hard time finding shoes. I don't have a hard time finding shoes. It's no problem for me. I can walk into the shoe store, find my shoe size, find the most adorable shoes, buy one, get one free, and I'm out the door.
Okay. Her idea of finding shoes is finding the place that sells the shoes because she wants everything in the store.
See, it's not a problem for me.
No, of course not. Not a problem. Because you've got boobies. This is a natural thing for you. A guy, he's got to find that one right pair of shoes because to the guy, it's an investment. And these shoes are going to, these are his shoes for like the next year or more.
Really?
That's how I see it.
Well, see, I would think that it would be just the opposite of us. You know, as a woman, I can go and find the cutest pair of shoes. Doesn't matter if my toes are numb. Doesn't matter if I can painfully feel that blister on my heel. I have got cute shoes. Now, for you, I would think, being from Mars, you walk into the shoe store. Go to your shoe size. Pick out, you know, those Michael Jordan shoes. And the new anti-gravity, you know, you're from Mars. You put them on your feet. They're comfortable. Who cares? You guys don't handle pain. Well, not unless you're trying to win a bet or prove a point. But they're comfortable shoes. They're on your feet. You're defying gravity. Hey, who cares if they're butt ugly?
Well, you got a point there. You got a point there. But still, I just want a classic, simple pair of shoes. I think guys should have a couple of pair of shoes. You have your dress shoes for Sunday. You know, for those Sundays that you feel like going to church. A casual pair of shoes, like a penny loafer. I don't even have a penny loafer.
You were so stuck in the 80s.
Penny loafers are cool. How many guys out there have penny loafers? Let me know.
Nobody nowadays. Nobody. You're so stuck in the
80s. It's a classic, traditional, Ivy League kind of dress shoe, casual shoe that you can wear with anything.
Oh, next you're going to say your sneakers have to be Converse All-Stars.
Exactly.
Huh.
Simple, classic shoes that don't look ridiculous. That's all I want. That's all I want is just a pair of sneakers. I like my Adidas. Check out these Adidas. I've got these Adidas right here. These are the ones I bought last year. And about 3 months after I bought them, they started to split. And now here's the sandal. The whole toe of the shoe is coming open and coming off, and it's just, look at that. Look at that. I mean, you can see the inside of the sole from the side of the shoe. The shoe's ruined. And I only wore them for like 6 months.
Hey, Ogre, go get yourself some Converse and get over it. Okay. Next subject.
You get me the shoes, because I'm not going into the shoe store.
And get your anti-gravity boots, you Martian.
Oh my gosh, no. Size 10.5, Chuck Taylor All-Stars. They always look good. If you're wearing tennis shoes, you're wearing the casual, the jeans, whatever, the Chuck Taylors always look good. They always look fine. They've never gone out of style. Now they're even kind of coming back, which is kind of embarrassing because it's like a fad now. It's kind of trendy to wear.
Kind of dates us, doesn't it?
But you know what? When I was a teenager, they were still cool. I think even when
and now my, that you're 30-something, they're still cool.
They're still cool. I think they were even cool when my dad was a teenager.
I think so, too.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's an old style. Same with the penny loafers. You know, same with girls wearing jeans and tight sweaters. I mean, it's a classic look. I mean, it never goes out of style. It never has. Has it ever gone out of style? It maybe hadn't been the fad.
Maybe every 30 years.
It maybe hasn't been a fad. But it has never gone out of style, and you dress like that, it always looks good.
If you say so.
I guess, yeah.
You're okay. The fashion guru.
Okay, so I picked up a couple of guns today.
You did.
I had a good day today. Any day that I get a new gun, it's a good day. The first gun I got is a Wilson Combat Professional model. This gun is, it's bloody fantastic. It's gorgeous. Two-tone, it's black on top with a light gray frame. The frame is colored in the light gray. This is the same finish that was on the SDS. As a matter of fact, everything is pretty much the same as the SDS 1911 from Wilson Combat that I just did a review for, and it's out there in Concealed Carry Magazine now. Some people say that, even you said that was my best gun article I've ever written. So I go from the best gun article I've ever written about the Wilson Combat SDS, and now Wilson sends me what is pretty much in effect the same damn gun how am I going to write an article that people are going to read start to finish all the way through? Because I'm going to be pretty much saying the same things, but I'm going to have to say them different. I'm going to have to point out just the different features. But pretty much, these are all features that you want on all of your 1911s. No matter what 1911 is, unless you're looking for like a World War II clone, you know, the original 1911 mil-spec type, these are the things you want on your 1911. It's all in the Wilson Combat. So just make your list of the things that you want on your 1911. And that's what's on this one. That's why they call it the professional model, because this is, you know, just those things. You know, it's got the night sights, the big beaver tail, high, you know, the checkering, the high cut. It's really nice. It's put together solid. 45 ACP, of course. Although this would be, again, I would love a Wilson Combat in 9x23mm. It's like the 357 Magnum of the 9mm. I mean, it's longer. It's a longer case, more power, high pressure, really flat trajectory, really high muzzle energy, fantastic, really good penetration. And that, in a 1911, you'd have a higher magazine capacity. I think that'd be really cool. Really cool. But
long, powerful. I like 1911s.
She shoots them really good, too.
I do.
Yeah. I think Larry Correa, one of the first times we had a Utah gathering back during the firing line days, Larry totally fell in love with the 1911 that I had. It was a Springfield Armory.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was my favorite one.
And Devaney was just, you know, just punching the X-ring out of the targets with it left and right. And you know, I let Larry shoot it, and he's just like, yeah, okay. Converted fanatic right there. You know, he drank the Kool-Aid and became part of the 1911 cult right then and there. Can't blame him. That was good. And, you know, Devaney demonstrated the gun very well, and it's pretty cool. So, you know, you'll have to tell the Horde in the next podcast how this Wilson Combat shot.
How this one shoots.
Yeah. Yep.
If you'll let me shoot it.
Yeah. Now, the next gun I got, take a look at that. That's, you want to get that out?
Sure.
Right there. Other pocket. Top pocket. There you go. Little tiny pouch. Little tiny thing. Okay, guys, check this out. This is a North American Arms mini revolver, 22 long rifle, in a little tiny soft leather pouch. It is so cute. But if you look at the pouch.
I can't believe you used the word cute.
It is. It's a cute gun. Look how cute it is.
It's adorable.
Can I keep it?
It's, you can keep it.
It is just precious. But look at the leather pouch. They misspelled North. North American Arms in the logo.
Norder American.
N-O-R-T-R. Well, since I bought it, and this one's actually mine now, I wonder if I could eBay this, and, you know, for like, oh, yeah, that was the special run collector's.
Norder American Arms.
Yeah, you know, like baseball cards, if they have a misprint on a baseball card, mm-hmm. you know, they correct it, and then they put out the corrected card, and then the card with the error becomes, like, totally valuable. I wonder, okay, maybe this isn't the same thing. It's kind of a thing. It's just a cheap little leather pouch. Actually, not that cheap. It's really, the leather's soft. And, okay, stupid
Get
pouch. The gun itself. Okay, 5 shots. It's tiny. You pull the pin out, drop the cylinder out, then you can reload it. 5-shot cylinder. Look at it. It's adorable. You know? You put the cylinder back in. Half cock notch, blah, blah, blah.
You could use it as a keychain.
Yeah. You could. As a matter of fact, I did before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I carried one of these on a keychain for about 2 years. Yeah, you know, even going through the airports, I just, you know, go through the airport security. You know, it was on my keychain, so I just take all my keys out, put them in the dish. Security guards never even looked at it, you know, just passed on through the security checkpoint. I'd grab all my keys, put them back in my pocket, get on the plane, you know, no problem. But you try that kind of stuff nowadays, and you're pretty much dead. I think they'll just throw you out of the plane if you try that. But it's a cute little revolver. I can barely hold on to it with two fingers. And the hammer, you cock the hammer back, and that activates the little trigger there. And it's just this little nubbin of a trigger. The barrel is about, what is that, an inch and a half or something? What would you use this for? That's a good question.
Just to see you have an adorable little gun?
Well, of course, this is for, you know, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do an article on this for Concealed Carry Magazine. This gun is a self-defense weapon, but it is not your typical self-defense weapon. This is your very, very last-ditch weapon. You carry this gun when you're not carrying a gun, you know? Gotcha. I'd put this, like, in a sock or an ankle holster. You know, they sell belt buckles with these things. A bra holster, if I had a man's ear.
Ew.
Size D. From Seinfeld. That's not a bra. Ew. It's a bro. But you could carry that in your bra, you know. But what it's for, it's conversational distances. It's for clearing sinuses.
I was going to say, it might poke an eye out.
Yeah, because, well, what you do is you cock the gun, you shove it up the bad guy's nose, or in their ear, and pull the trigger. You're not going to really engage the bad guy, your enemy, whatever, from a distance. It's only got a hint of sights, so you're not going to be making accurate shots with it. B, it's a snub-nosed 22, so you're... The energy that this thing's going to produce is just absolutely minimal. And so your penetration is going to be greatly reduced. That's why you want a contact shot with this. One of the advantages of a contact shot is that you also get the hot expanding gases, creating burn wounds at the same time.
Does it burn your hand?
No, not really. Not really. Not really. Not much gas is going to be escaping between the gap between the cylinder and the barrel there. But one thing's cool about these little North American Arms mini revolvers, the parts, they're CNC computer controlled milled, out of high quality steel billets. They mill these parts out, and then they hand fit them. They hand fit them. They fit them by hand. There's a guy fitting each individual part by hand. I've got an article I'm doing on Concealed Carry Magazine about North American Arms Factory. It's coming up. And I've got some photos of this. The guy's got a dish full of parts, you know, sitting and break free. He takes the parts out. He's got little files going on. And he hand fits all the parts. There's a couple guys doing this, but it's crazy. Not very many guns are made like this anymore, which is impressive. Especially, you know, such this tiny little, cute little pistol, you know, with such attention to detail. The guys who make these guns are total gun nuts. They love the guns. They love shooting. They're shooting sports. They're totally on our side. Unlike, say Colt or HK, you know, people like that. But these guys are... they make a really good product. They take pride in it, and it shows. You talk to them, they're proud of what they do. They're proud of the product that they put out, and they stand behind it. And they make a really great product. Hand-finished as well. They take the guns, and they polish them by hand. The cylinder, see how the cylinder's shiny like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guy takes it by hand. Polishes it by hand.
And how much did you pay for it?
$150.
Is that all?
That's it. That's it.
I won't have to kill you with it then.
No. Yeah, I kind of sprung this on her that I actually bought this one. It's not one that the factory gave me. Hey, check this out. Do an article about it. Give us some publicity. No, that's going to come later on another gun. But no, this one I bought myself because I was in panic. I needed a gun that wasn't a Wilson Combat 1911. So I could do an article on it and kind of break up the monotony for the readers. Because if you read 1911 review after 1911 review, pretty much Concealed Carry Magazine is going to be like American Handgunner. And, well...
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid, because you know, while the photos are gorgeous, you know, they don't call it gun porn for a reason, because nobody reads the articles. They just look at the pictures. They do. They call it gun porn. Have you ever heard
terrible.
That?
That's terrible. No, I
haven't. You've never heard the phrase before. Gun porn.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the, you know, because it's just something pretty to ogle. And then you move on. You know, then you go about your day. Not a lot of gun porn factor coming off of the mini revolver here. But it's cute. It's a cute gun. It looks good on you.
Thank you.
You can carry it in your bra if you want. This article is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to test some different rounds. I'm going to have to buy a couple boxes of different 22 long rifle loads, which is great because 22 is cheap. So for the price of like one regular box of ammo, I can buy a couple of different loads, several different loads, and test them out, see which one works best out of these little tiny pistols for self-defense. The gun is so small, you can put it, you know, that little pocket in the Levi's that, you know, it's not the main pocket that you clip the knife to. It's that little mini pocket that really has no use, that's like above the other pocket. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. You could like put like a quarter in there, and then you like lose the quarter because you can't get your finger down in there to get it out. You know, that ridiculous. you could carry this. That's what this is for. That's what the pocket's for. It's for these little revolvers. You could carry that in there.
Now you know.
Now you know. And knowing's half the battle. Yo, Joe. Okay. So, anything else we want to talk about?
Baseball.
Oh, my goodness. Freaking baseball.
Never thought I would enjoy baseball.
Loving the baseball. The baseball's awesome.
Absolutely.
Tell them why you love the baseball.
I've got three boys on the same baseball team. And there is nothing more exciting than being out in the stands, having one son on third, another one up to bat, and bringing all three of them home. There's nothing like it. Yeah. I saw a baseball game once. Mm-hmm.
Once.
I was so bored. It was a professional baseball game. So bored. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand it. I left early.
It's fun playing it.
So, yeah, when my boys told me they all wanted to play baseball, I thought, oh, no. I am going to have to start stacking up at the library, getting books to, you know. Uh-uh. I am on the edge of my seat, cheering on as three boys come sliding into home base. It's awesome.
It is. It's the best thing in the world. It's become my favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for those games.
I'd rather sit there and watch my boys play baseball than do anything else. Even play Oblivion. Oblivion, it's a cool game and all.
So I hear.
But I'd rather watch my boys play baseball. It's cool because you see their faces, you know, when they make a catch or when they make
they're
a good hit.
Just delighted.
And you
delighted.
See that joy. You see that pure joy and you feel that. I think this is my first time really, you know, being a dad. Having these feelings like that, you know.
Well, it's because your boys are old enough to play with now.
Yeah.
They've been my babies, but now that they're getting...
No, they're little thugs.
9-year-olds.
Little thugs. Seven cracking and off home runs. Yeah. Like Babe Ruth. Did you hear this? Check this out. Babe Ruth's record, 714 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Bonds, 713.
Close.
Very close. He's just one away from Babe Ruth's record.
Does Babe Ruth still hold that record?
I think so. Anyway, but Barry Bonds has been taking steroids. Did you know that?
No. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's a complete joke. They should kick Barry Bonds out of the baseball league. Just kick him out of pro ball altogether. Erase his name out of the records. Screw Barry Bonds. Forget him.
It's a bit harsh,
steroids.
Don't you think?
Well, he lied to Congress about this. He said, no, I'm there's a congressional inquiry. And he says, no, I haven't, you know, I've never taken steroids at all. You know, I don't take steroids. Except he was taking steroids, just a new type
proven?
Of steroids. Oh, proven. A new type of steroids that was undetectable in the earlier steroid tests because it was a different type.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is steroids. He has been taking it. And yet they're still letting him play. It's just ridiculous. if he's going to be debauchering, you know, like Babe Ruth did, he needs to do it with booze and floozies the way Babe Ruth did it. Not steroids. None of these performance enhancing drugs. But at the same time, baseball, professional baseball, like you said, it is a boring sport. Guys, she is totally biting her tongue on the booze and floozies comment.
Oh, I was biting so hard I could taste my blood in my mouth. Ah!
The room, like, chilled 10 degrees all of a sudden.
Did you feel it?
I felt it.
Yeah, so did I.
Made my nipples stand up.
Yeah.
Got cold.
Ooh.
That glare you were looking at. But yeah. No, Babe Ruth was famous for that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, see, so...
It was the fact that you would rather have the babes and the booze than just...
performance-enhancing drugs. It ruins the sport. Because while Babe Ruth was no hero to look up to, you know, at least he wasn't using performance-enhancing drugs. But here's the thing. The other side of the coin is that professional baseball, it is so freaking boring to watch. You know, the only thing interesting is when they do hit a home run once in a while. And if they're popping some pill or taking some shot, that lets them hit more home runs. I don't know. Maybe that's better in the sport, for the sport overall, because you're actually paying attention to it a little bit more. And now here it is, we're talking about baseball. I don't even think I've ever blogged in my life mentioning a baseball game until now. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe everybody on the baseball teams, you're pro? Here's your steroid shot for the day. You know, go hit the weights so you turn into an 800 freaking pound gorilla and can smack them home runs like an artillery shell blasting them out of the stadium. Maybe that's what the sport needs.
Maybe. Maybe not.
But that's too far.
Certainly doesn't need babes and booze. I about said boobs.
Babes are better with boobs.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, because we don't want to teach our kids that, yeah, man, get ahead by taking drugs. We don't want that for the kids.
No.
And that's certainly not what a professional in baseball, that's not the image that a professional baseball player needs to be portraying. That's just ridiculous.
Neither are babes and booze, so, you know.
Exactly.
There's always something.
There shouldn't be, though.
No, there shouldn't.
There always is, but there shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. And we're always hearing the news... the sports talk shows and all that stuff, you know, we always hear the worst about the sports. You never hear about the guy who lives perfect, you know, is as perfect as he can, trying to live that clean cut life, you know, no drugs, no floozies, you know, they're very boring people, but you know, you never hear about them.
Occasionally.
Well, and then,
occasionally.
But there was that one guy who, you know, really good work ethic. I forget it. Cal Ripken Jr. Was that his name? You guys know more about it than I do. I don't pay attention to baseball because I don't know.
We just like coach pitch.
Freaking boring. Oh, yeah. They got the pitching machine out there. The little wheel. Oh, the pitcher put the ball into the pitching machine. And it put too much of a spin on it, and it didn't really kick it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the ball, like, only went halfway to the plate. And I yelled, come on, pitcher! I think she almost flipped me off. It was hilarious. Oh, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, baseball is... Yeah, it's never been really a fun sport unless you're playing it. Or unless your kids are playing it. And then it's just a whole different thing, you know. Cheering them on, seeing their faces when they do something good, and
sliding into home when they need to slide into home.
Oh, it's awesome. And the whole team. Cute kids.
Oh, adorable boys. Absolutely
all
adorable.
These boys, they're just cool little
cheering
kids.
Cheering each other on. We believe in you. I will never forget that little boy. He was on third base, cheering on the pitcher that was going to take him into home. We believe in you, he said.
That's fun.
It was good.
That's fun. That's fun. Good stuff. What else do we want to talk about? I think we've hit all the topics. The last podcast I talked about primarily, no, that was the only thing I talked about, the M16 rifle. Today we talked about some handguns. My favorite handgun, these Wilson Combats are fantastic handguns, okay? And North American Arms revolver, cute little, you know, curio. kind of thing.
I believe the word you said was precious.
Precious. It's precious. No, but my favorite handgun, still out of all of them, my CZ-P01. You can get a P01 from CZ USA out of Kansas City, and that is, I think, the best handgun on the market. Period. But that's just my opinion. A lot of guys like the HKs and the Glocks and the Berettas and the SIGs. Oh, I love SIGs. SIGs are fantastic guns. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing on SIG. But for bang for your buck, quality, I think you get more gun out of your money in a CZ. And the best CZ is the CZ-P01. You know, it's kind of a compact, so you can carry it concealed. Yet it's feels like a full-size gun in your hand. It shoots like a full-size gun. At least it does for me. If you want a real full-size gun, you can get a version of the CZ-P01 with the full-length barrel and slide matching frame like that. And that's called the SP-01 for service pistol, I guess. I don't know what their nomenclature means on that one. But the S is, I guess, the longer-barreled version of the PL1. And it's cool. I took a look at that. I think you saw it, too, at SHOT. Mm-hmm. And it's a good gun. It's a good gun. I like it. It's a good gun. Really good. But, I don't know. The PL1 is my favorite. Out of all the guns I have tested, the PL1 is totally my favorite. Totally my favorite. And here's the cool thing about the PO1. $500. $500. Yeah, that the SDS, man, I could have bought what? Six of them? With a group discount? Get a good price, count them down. I could buy six PO1s for the price of that one Wilson Combat. This Wilson Combat, the professional model that I'm testing, well, that I'm going to test, I haven't fired it yet. It's a bargain. It's only $2,200. Real nice gun, guys. Real nice gun. Buy two. It's a bargain.
Oh. Buy one, get one free.
Oh, I wish. You know, if you want a Wilson Combat, but you don't want to pay Wilson Combat prices, there is a company called Nighthawk that is actually all these guys from Wilson Combat that left Wilson Combat because, I don't know, some sort of politics or something going on there. I'm not going to get into that. But they left Wilson Combat and created their own gun company called Nighthawk. These guns... I saw one at FBMG. If you guys don't know where FBMG is, it's in Draper, Utah. Cool store. Good guys working there. Friends of mine. They'll hook you up. They'll treat you right. Make sure you get what you need and not try to sell you stuff that you didn't even know you wanted. But once you get in there and you see some of the cool stuff you have, you didn't know you wanted, you're going to want those too. But Larry, if you go in there, you're going to do some like three-gun competition, or if you're a new police officer, you know, and you got to get some guns for that, they will help you out and get you exactly what you need and not sell you anything that you don't, unless you really want it, like the Shorty AKs, which are fantastic. Did I tell you about those?
You did.
Freaking AK-47s.
I know.
Chopped down, channeled, 12-gauge.
I know.
Totally brutal.
Uh-huh.
The most evil thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Next to your grandmother. They're that brutal.
Ouch.
All right. I think we've run out of time here. Run out of
jokes.
And bashing on grandmothers. Didn't mean that.
Okay, let's put a cheesy ending on this.
A cheesy ending?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is.
Nice try. Now, how about this? We believe in you.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Ogre and Mrs. Ogre say, we believe in you.
my swamp.
We should do a Shrek ending. Maybe not. Maybe not. I can't think of anything.
I was just thinking, I don't think we have any music from Hey Now, Great All Star, Pitchy Game. Who sang that song?
Play Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth, yeah. We need a Smash Mouth theme song
ending. There you go.
No. Okay. Next podcast, maybe we'll throw in some music or something like that.
Yeah, since you can sing and dance now.
Oh, shut up.
Wear those tight, shoddy pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Pirates of Penzance. Go ahead, make the jokes. Make the jokes, guys. Make the jokes.
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard all the Brokeback Mountain jokes.
Oh, my gosh. But I get a gun out of this, guys.
You're man enough to handle it, darling.
I get two guns. Double holster. You guys heard her. She said double holster. Pair of gauchos. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking. I want a pair of gauchos. You know those cute little new gaucho pants?
Okay, we're going to end it right there. Thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. Take care. Peace.